Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 22. The Reverend Roy Askins is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ Jesus, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. O Lord, have mercy upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear chosen people of God, people chosen by God from the foundation of the world to be his children, St. Paul continues praying in our text for today, continues offering thanks to God on behalf of the Ephesians and others to whom he wrote this letter. Last week we talked about how he made this entire prayer there in these first 203 words and never made an intercession. Well, today he finally gets to an intercession on behalf of these Ephesians. And it is that the Father of glory would continue to bestow upon these Ephesians and the people hearing this letter the Holy Spirit. They, of course, received this in holy baptism, but he asks that God would continue to shower his gifts, his Holy Spirit, for the purpose of enlightening these Ephesians, that is, illuminating the eyes of their hearts. What a fascinating construction that he has there, the eyes of their hearts. You wonder for a moment if St. Paul missed a bit of biology class. Hearts don't have eyeballs, heads do. But as you know, he doesn't mean literal eyes. He wants the Ephesians to see with the heart. For as he says in Romans, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And then with these enlightened eyes, he would have these Ephesians know the hope to which God has called them, the riches of his glorious inheritance. Illuminated eyes. In past eras, when books were not a dime a dozen and had to be painstakingly copied or manually printed on a printing press, manuscripts and books were often professionally illuminated. That is, we might say, they were illustrated. This was commonly done for liturgical books and books of worship and devotion. The illuminator would spend countless hours painting illustrations and painting carefully codified markers into these books to help the monks and the priests use the book correctly. The illuminator would not paint the book simply to make it beautiful, but to make it useful, so that the reader and the hearer might understand and elucidate God's word better. That is, to better point God's people to the word of God, that is, to Christ Jesus. This is precisely St. Paul's prayer and petition to God for the Ephesians as well. He asks God to illuminate the eyes of their hearts to better see and understand the hope to which God has called them, that is the glorious inheritance of the saints, the inheritance that is Jesus Christ. To people of God, the problem with the eyes in your head is that they're terribly unreliable. You can't trust them. Consider the story of Elisha and his servant when the king of Syria comes and surrounds Dothan where they were staying. To the eyes in their heads, it looked like Elisha and his manservant were done for. They didn't have a chance. The army completely surrounded the city. And yet Elisha knew with the eyes of his heart that God would provide for them. And so he asks God to open his manservant's eyes. And when he did, what does the manservant see? He sees hordes and hosts of angels there to protect and defend them. And then God leads Elisha and the manservant to safety. To people of God, the eyes in your head are terribly unreliable. You use them to scroll through your news feeds, to flick through the news stories in the newspaper. With these eyes, you read Supreme Court briefs, and your eyes and your head see all sorts of horrible things. And with these, you might begin to wonder and doubt. It would appear as though the church is on the ropes. Can this old, bedraggled woman, this old, bedraggled church survive? What will happen? St. Paul is here to tell you not to trust the eyes in your head, but rather see with the eyes of your heart, with the eyes that have been enlightened, illuminated by looking at nothing other than the Word of God. Like an illuminated manuscript directing the medieval priest where to begin and how to stop and how to sing this song, how to direct God's people to hear the proclamation of God's Word, so the Word of God illuminates your eyes, the eyes of your heart, showing you when and where and how to see Jesus. We might be mixing metaphors, but because St. Paul does it, I'm going to do it too. We might say that the eyes of the heart are really the ears. They don't see as much as hear and trust God's Word. They see below the surface, as it were, what God is doing behind the scenes. These eyes actually hear Him. Once again, it is with the heart one believes and is justified, St. Paul says. And so it is that the eyes of the heart look to Jesus and trust in Him. The eyes of the heart do not see a weak man dying in disgrace on a cross. The eyes of the heart, in fact, see the salvation and redemption of God. The eyes of the heart do not see a church on the ropes ready to be taken down by ravenous hordes of unbelievers, not a bedraggled old woman who needs to update with the times. No, but the eyes of the heart see the beautiful bride of Christ, dressed in her glorious white raiment, arrayed as a spotless bride, without blemish, pure and perfect. The eyes of the heart do not direct the heart into the wisdom of the world. The eyes of the heart do not look at bread and wine and say, "This cannot be his body and blood. He has ascended into heaven." No, the eyes of the heart trust what God says in His Word. And so they direct the mouth to declare, God has given to Jesus all rule and authority. And if He declares this bread to be His body and this wine to be His blood, so I believe, and so I will confess before the world. Enlightened eyes, illuminated eyes, do not look to the world for wisdom and insight. They look instead to the Word of God and to what the Word of God points, Jesus Christ Himself. And so it is in the rest of this book of Ephesians that St. Paul will spend his time enlightening the eyes of the hearts of these Ephesians, that they might have confidence and hope, not in themselves and in their own work, but in Jesus Christ, in the inheritance prepared for them from the foundation of the world, an inheritance given by grace through faith, to which St. Paul turns in the next chapter. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.